Evening, everyone. Are you well? Are you fine? Are you awesome? Okay, good. My name is Heinz. Just some background about me. I studied theology. When I was in high school, I felt God say that I have a calling on my life to minister in His kingdom. And then I went to study at the university. And at the university, the theological faculty there is very focused on the Word. Very focused on the theory. And in the end, it was very tough for me. Having a passion for God and having a passion for His kingdom, to study theory about God and people's opinions about God and what people say about what other people said about what other people said earlier about God. So it was difficult for me. And in the end, I ended up finishing my degree and not wanting to have to do anything with theology. I just wanted God again. So after 4.5 years of study, my passion for the Lord had died. Or there was just a glimmering little flame. And then God took me back. And he brought me out of that setup. And He said, "You have gained a lot of knowledge, but you have not met my Spirit." His Spirit was inside of me because I got filled with the Spirit in high school, but I didn't recognize that I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I started seeing dreams, seeing visions, having dreams, getting discernment of spirits and so forth, but I did not recognize it because I was not discipled. Now tonight, I want to speak about that contrast between people and the world as between the Word of God and the Spirit of God. So in the end, I ended up coming to Shofar, and I got discipled, and I got baptized, and in the end, God released the fullness of the Spirit upon me, and I acknowledged that the Holy Spirit is God, and the Holy Spirit is working in my life, and that through the Holy Spirit, we get empowered to do the works of Christ. And then my life changed. Up until the point where last year God told me, "You will not teach this whole year." And it was a challenge for Alistair because he wanted me to teach at Bible school, and I just said, "Sorry, God told me this year I shouldn't teach, I should be taught." It was difficult for me as well, and I said to God, "Well, you told me I have to go on missions this year, and on missions we have a lot of teachings, and if I'm leading a team, how can I not teach?" And I went on 2 missions, and I didn't do a single teaching. Just because God's hand was over last year, not telling me not to teach, and He raised up other people to teach. And it was such a blessing that other people taught. And since the start of this year, God has brought that release over me to start teaching. For I've gained a lot of knowledge at university, and I've started to walk according to His Spirit and listen to what He tells me. And I believe that God has brought me to a point where I'm allowed to teach. And the Bible in James, it says that those who want to be teachers, you shouldn't be swift to be teachers because you will be judged more strictly than the rest. So if I'm saying something tonight that's not in accordance with the will of God, I will be judged more strictly than any of you sitting here. So I'm doing it in the fear of God. Let's pray before I start with the sermon. Thank you, Father God, that you are God in 3 persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I thank you that you are in our midst, and we just come and confess our human nature and say that we are so dependent upon you, Lord Jesus, dependent upon your Spirit. I pray that by your Spirit you would give me the utterance to speak your words, and that by your Spirit you would give the understanding in the hearts of those gathered here this evening, that they will receive revelation that is profitable to change their lives, Father God. This is not going to be done by the works of man. This will be done in the name of Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. I pray your blessing, Father God, over this evening. I pray your blessing over every set of ears and every heart represented here, every pair of eyes, that it will be opened and receptive towards the truth that you want to portray in this evening. I command a blessing, Father God, in your name over this congregation. And may we really be in tune with your spirit in this evening and focused upon your word. I pray this all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I shared that word of John 1, John 4, verse 2, in which it says that any spirit that declares that Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh is not of God. And any spirit that does confess that Jesus Christ did come in the flesh, meaning did come as a man with a body as ours, that is a spirit. That spirit is from God. I want to stop at that quickly before I continue with the rest. If there is anyone not believing that Jesus Christ was a man who walked on this earth, I want to tell you that you should repent and turn back to God. For if Jesus Christ did not come as a man in flesh and blood, no one would have been saved. For if Jesus Christ came down from heaven as a spirit, represented and looking like a body, there would have been no atonement for any sins. So I just feel that strongly on my heart that correction needs to be given to someone here this evening. That Jesus Christ did come to earth, and he was born of a woman, and he was fully man, but he was also fully God. Tonight we're speaking about the Word and the Spirit. The Word referring to Jesus and referring to Scripture, the Holy Bible. Spirit referring to the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, as well as the manifestation of the Spirit in our midst. So, in our churches, we have an imbalance between the regard that we have for the second and third person of the Trinity. The Trinity being God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And in our churches, we see that some people tend to favor Jesus, favor Scripture, and some people tend to favor the Spirit and the working of the Spirit, with a disregard for the other churches who focus on other things. So we have this imbalance in church, and we have it not only in church but in people's lives as well, with certain people having a love more towards the Word of God, neglecting the Spirit, and other people having a love more towards the Spirit of God and neglecting the Word. So I want to speak about that, and I want to speak about why is that and why is it wrong and what do we need to do to change that. So some churches say we have the Spirit, others say we have the Word. That is wrong, and that is not pleasing to the Lord. As people, we tend to favor people. When we have been in a new situation, when you went to a social or a braai, you met some people there, you might walk away having one person there that stood out for you. You're favoring that person in your mind, leaving there. We tend in situations that is unknown to us, where we feel insecure, to attach to a certain person. Now, sometimes we do the same thing with God. We tend to favor either Jesus, or we tend to favor either the Father, or we tend to favor either the Holy Spirit. But this is not a good thing to do, for if you favor the one above the other one, you're dishonoring the whole Godhead, because God is three in one. I want to speak about the Trinity. I'm going to stop at some difficult or like big concepts, but bear with me. The Trinity is the Godhead in whom we believe. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, Muslims accuse Christians for worshipping three gods. But that's not true. We're not worshipping three gods. We're worshipping one God represented in three different persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, roughly we can associate Father God with the perfect will of the Father and creation, and then Jesus Christ to the man who came down to earth. He was seated in the heavenlies next to his Father, came to earth, died on the cross for our sins, got raised from the dead, went back to heaven, and he's seated in the heavenlies next to his Father again. And the third person being the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God himself, the one that was poured out on all flesh. And that Spirit which is with us now. Right. So those are the three persons of the Trinity. In Genesis 1, Matthew 3, Luke 3, Mark 1, John 1, Matthew 28, all chapters in which there's a reference to the Trinity. Some people say, well, you don't find the word Trinity in the Bible, so it's not scriptural. The word Trinity we have connected to the Godhead after the Bible was written for us to better understand it. But it is found in the Bible that there's a Father in heaven, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these texts, all of them, refer in some way to the Trinity. I'm going to stop at one of them. Luke 3, verse 21 to 22, just to illustrate to you that God is indeed three persons in one. Three distinct persons, not just one, but he's also not four. Never in the Bible is a fourth or a fifth or a sixth person ever mentioned. It's only these three. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized, this is the story of where Jesus got baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form, like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Look at the words in bold. Jesus. We're speaking about Jesus being on earth as a man in the flesh. The Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove. The Holy Spirit was not a dove, like a dove. And a voice came from heaven saying, "You are my beloved Son." So if he's saying, "You are my beloved Son," so it's the Father saying to his Son. So here we find one piece of scripture, two verses, in which all three persons of the Godhead is spoken of, and in reality, in Jerusalem, in Israel, at that very moment, all three of them were present in different forms. So God is indeed one God in three different persons, illustrated Luke 3, verse 21 to 22. Right, so with God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we tend that in churches or in people's lives, you tend to favor one of the three. Now, some people favor God the Father, and some churches favor God the Father so much that everything refers to the Father, and they neglect the Son and the Holy Spirit. But I don't believe any of us or this church really gets into contact with such churches and people currently. So I felt God laid on my heart to speak about the second and the third person of the Trinity, the Son and the Spirit. Some churches really do focus so much on the Word and on Jesus Christ, and they boast in that. They boast in the fact that they do that. And they boast in the fact that they don't have a big focus on the Holy Spirit. Other churches, more charismatic churches like our church, for example, some of these churches in the Pentecostal and charismatic movement focus very much on the Holy Spirit and the working of the Holy Spirit, and find pride in that, in saying we are a church led by the Spirit of God, that they neglect the Word of God. They neglect Scripture itself. So we're going to look at Jesus, going to look at the Holy Spirit. Jesus is Word of God. Hebrews 1 verse 3. It's speaking of Jesus, is the fact that Jesus is God. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. He being Jesus. It says that Jesus Christ is the exact imprint of the Father. So that means Jesus is representing the Father. Right. We continue. John 1, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If you continue to read this whole of chapter 1, the Word refers to Jesus Christ. It's John the Baptist also refers to Jesus Christ in John chapter 1 as the Word of God. So it says, in the beginning was the Word of God, and the Word of God was with God, and the Word was God. So it says, Jesus was God. Jesus is God. So he's both the reflection of the Father as well as God himself. Right. Moving on. Jesus Christ as the Word of God. Connecting the Word of God, Jesus, to Scripture. I'll get to that. Or in this piece, I get to that. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. And this is also the Word of God. In Matthew 22, verse 37 to 40, a scribe comes to the Lord Jesus and he asks him, what's the greatest commandment? Right. So, what do you think would be a good thing to do? Jesus Christ, having access to the Father, who's in heaven, would you think it would be a good idea to ask the Father what the answer to this question is? I think it would be a good thing, because you have the access to the Father. The Father never lies. So you can get your answer from the Father, right? But what did Jesus do? When he answered this man, saying that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, what did he do there? He quoted word for word Scripture. He quoted Deuteronomy 6 verse 5, and he quoted Leviticus 19 verse 18. What does this show us? That when Jesus Christ was confronted with a question and he wanted to give the truth, he could have asked the Father and he would have gotten the truth. But what did he do? He referred to Scripture. He referred to the Word of God. And Jesus himself never lies. So the words of God written down in those two passages is the truth. Because he could have just asked the Father to give him the answer. So in the end, Jesus Christ, in quoting the Word, says that the Word is the truth of God. And John 1, chapter 1 says that Jesus Christ is the Word of God. So Jesus actually quoted himself, which is amazing. Jesus Christ and Scripture. Let me ask you a question. Is the Bible, this book that you have here, if we say that this book is the Word of God, and we say that Jesus Christ is the Word of God, does this mean that this book is Jesus? Let me see some hands now. I won't do that to you. Would you say that if Jesus Christ is the Word of God and this is the Word of God, is this book Jesus? Yes or no? God clarified it to me yesterday. He said that Jesus Christ is indeed the Word of God as Scripture commands. This is also the Word of God as Scripture commands. But Scripture is a manifestation of the person of Jesus Christ. So this is not Jesus himself. Let me explain the word manifestation there at the bottom. Manifestation, the event, action, or object that clearly reveals something that is otherwise hidden or concealed. So when the Word of God is given, it reveals something of the person of Jesus Christ himself. That's why we say this is a manifestation of Jesus Christ himself. For this reveals who Jesus Christ is. This comes from him. Right. You got that. So Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Scripture is also the Word of God. But we can say that Scripture is the manifestation of Jesus Christ as the Word of God. Right. The Holy Spirit. Moving on to that one. John 4 verse 24. God is Spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is spirit. The Spirit himself is also stated to be God. So this verse refers to the fact that God is spirit, and the Holy Spirit is God himself as well. Right. Next verse. Acts 18:1 verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Why do I put up this scripture here? This is where Jesus Christ sent the Holy Spirit upon the apostles, upon the disciples. 120 of them received the Holy Spirit in this moment. What happened when the Holy Spirit came upon people? They were empowered to be witnesses. So in Acts chapter 2, it actually happens. This prophesies that it will happen. And they did receive power. And what did the disciples do when they got filled with the Holy Spirit? They started preaching. The first sermon to be recorded in Scripture, Peter preached there. He preached. What did they do? They preached in languages that they have never spoken before, that they have never learned before. People were in Jerusalem from different parts of the world, and they spoke in those languages for the first time. And what did they say? They preached the gospel in those languages. What also happened when the Holy Spirit was there? They prayed for people. They got healed. They prayed for the dead. They rose from the dead. Miracle upon miracle happened there. People were healed. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of God was placed upon people and people's lives changed. The Holy Spirit is the power of God. Right. The next one is the Holy Spirit of God. The working of the Holy Spirit is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit of God. So when we speak about, we see the Holy Spirit moving in churches, we don't speak about the Holy Spirit himself as he is the Holy Spirit, so he's not there. So when someone prophesies or someone gets healed, it's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit of God. You understand that? The Holy Spirit is present there, but he's also present right around the world. So whenever someone gets healed, whenever prophecy is given, whenever a sermon is preached by the power of the Holy Spirit, it's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit of God. In the same way, so I said earlier that Jesus Christ, the Word of God, is the manifestation of Jesus Christ unto us. And then for the Holy Spirit, the outworking of the Holy Spirit is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit on earth. What you witnessed here in front with people coming forward and sharing words and giving scriptures, that was a working of the Holy Spirit, and I hope you recognized it as such. People were moved by God to come forward and share the Word of God. That is prophecy, and you find that in 1 Corinthians 12. It's one of the gifts of the Spirit that you will prophesy. And having words of knowledge, like God told me someone here has heard something about Jesus and him not being real in this week. It's a word of knowledge that God gave me. So the thing is, the manifestation of the Spirit is real. It's happening in our midst, speaking in tongues, praying in tongues. Day by day, I see that, I hear that. So just in summary, Jesus is the Word of God, is the manifestation of Jesus Christ. The Word of God is the manifestation of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit, the outworking of the Holy Spirit, is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Right. So, now let's get back to churches and people favoring the one or favoring the other one. If people say that we favor God or God the Son, or we favor Scripture, and others say we favor the Holy Spirit, they're actually saying that we are favoring the outworking of the Holy Spirit, or we are favoring the outworking of Jesus Christ, Scripture. But when they do this, they are favoring either the Scriptures or the outworking of the Holy Spirit. But indirectly, they are favoring the person of God, one of the two, one of the three. What happens? What do you think happens in God's heart if he sees people boasting in their knowledge of Scripture, and those who are led by the Spirit or say that they are led by the Spirit is false? How do you think what happens in God's heart in that moment? For he himself is both Word and Spirit. And what do you think happens in people's heart, in God's heart, when people boast in the fact that they have been filled with the Spirit and they speak according to the Spirit, and the Word of God, nah, we don't need that because we have the Spirit. God is both the Spirit and the Word. So when we play off these things against one another, we're playing God off in our hearts against himself, which is not a good thing to do. I'm just going to give a short history of how we ended up here. I'm going to run through this. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was poured out on people to lead the country. And that is how it happened. Later on, scripture was given, written down. And then in the New Testament time, people started boasting in scripture. The scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. That even when Jesus Christ came in front of them and spoke to them, they didn't realize this is the actual Word of God. We have been studying the scriptures, the Word of God, so theoretically and without the Spirit that we can't recognize the Word of God Himself. All right. In that time, after the Holy Spirit got poured out, people were moved by the Spirit. And in this time, the Spirit and the Word worked together. Because the words of Jesus were still alive in people's hearts. And they were filled with the Spirit. So in the New Testament time, Paul and Peter and the apostles, these guys operated out of both the Word and the Spirit. How did it happen that in our time we have this break between the two? Well, I believe in the time just after the apostles, a lot of heresy, and in the time of the apostles, a lot of heresy came in. And that heresy was fought against by both the Spirit and the Word. So people would use scripture to refute heresy, but they would also ask the Holy Spirit to show them what is false. Just as this verse that I quoted in 1 John 4, that's quite late after Jesus that verse was written down. And it says that by the Spirit you will discern these things, and by scripture as well. Right. After that time, people got stuck into writing down doctrine and theory on God. And somewhere along the line in the Church Fathers' time and after that, people started neglecting the Holy Spirit and the role of the Holy Spirit in refuting heresy and so forth. I'm just focusing on heresy and so forth, but there was other factors as well. In the time of the Dark Ages, with the Roman Catholic Church being in control, then there was a complete break with the Holy Spirit. And people focused on the Word. And they also, like the Pharisees, focused so on the Word that they missed the person of Jesus Christ. They started missing the Word itself, started adding things to Scripture, started removing things from Scripture. In the end, it was necessary that God use the man Martin Luther to bring about the Reformation. So after that 1,000 years, the Reformation came. I think it's 1500s, the Reformation came. What happened there? Then they found that the scriptures have been neglected for 1,000 years, and the truth of scripture will set people free. Then they started focusing on the scriptures, and people got set free, and people started believing again. But then people got stuck in the Word again, stuck in words and teachings and doctrine. And many of our churches today still cling to the texts of the Reformation and what happened there. But the Holy Spirit wasn't manifested in these people's lives. So we have a legacy of that, especially in South Africa, through traditional churches clinging back to the Reformation, John Calvin, Martin Luther, and all those guys. On the other hand, the Holy Spirit was poured out afresh more than 100 years ago. In the Welsh Revival was, I think, before the Azusa Street Revival, and then the Azusa Street Revival, and many revivals after that, the Holy Spirit got poured out on people, and they started prophesying again. They started seeing people healed. They started speaking life. They started speaking the words of God. Miracles happened. And then we are part of that legacy in this church. But some of these churches has waved off the wave or off the path into just focusing on the leading of the Holy Spirit and neglecting Scripture. And what happens when you do this? If you neglect and reject Scripture, you come to a point where you just hear the voice of God, and you need to interpret the voice of God. So the voice of God is not wrong, but these people getting stuck in just focusing on the Word of God, the Spirit of God, they start getting deceived because they don't have the correction of the Word to show them this what you are saying now is of yourself and not of God. So in the end, we need to come at a place and ask ourselves, where are you in this whole process? Are you favoring God's word or are you favoring God's spirit? Are you favoring the outworking of the Holy Spirit above the word of God, or are you favoring the word of God above the power of the Holy Spirit and the working of the Holy Spirit? You need to ask yourself that question. Because what happens if we neglect the word of God? We might be saying that the word of God is boring. I don't want to read all those Old Testament stories. I don't want to read about this one was the son of that, was the son of that. This is how the temple looked. That piece of temple, the curtain should be that long and that broad. And then there was 50 chains and 50 links and so forth. And there was a pole and it was covered in gold. If we start looking at the Bible in that way, if we start saying that the Bible is boring, there's no revelation in it, we're going to get deceived and we're neglecting the person of Jesus Christ. On the other hand, if we say, well, the Holy Spirit people, they are weird. And they do weird things, and I don't want to be a part of that. And speaking in tongues is not of God, and it's of the devil or whatever. And you start, how can I say, if you start putting a distance between yourself and the Spirit, you get dry. So in the end, we want to have the Spirit of God and the Word of God working together. We need this. We can't read the Word of God without the Spirit of God. We can't walk according to the ways of the Spirit unless we have the Word of God correcting us. So I want to ask you, on which side are you? Are you on the side favoring Scripture, or are you on the side favoring the Holy Spirit and neglecting one of the two? And then I want to encourage you, if you are not regarding Scripture, start reading Scripture daily. You need it. Jesus Christ said that he lives not of, or man doesn't live off bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We need to realize that we need to live off the word of God. We need to live off Scripture. You need to eat this, otherwise you'll starve. And on the other hand, Benedict spoke about having dead works, being busy with stuff and just being busy and busy and busy. If we don't have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, we're going to want to do a lot of things and try to do the right things the whole time and try to serve God, try to serve God, try to serve God. But if we do not have the Spirit of God, we're going to be busy with dead works. And when Jesus does come, you're going to miss him because you're not tuned into his Spirit. If you have been tuned into his Spirit, you would know he's here now. And the things that you would have been busy with would have led you on the path to meet him where he is when he comes. So I want to challenge you, ask you, are you really focusing on both of them equally or not? And in terms of the Father as well, I just want to focus on that. Do you really accept the Father of heaven and earth as your Father? Or do you disregard him maybe because of a wound you have of your Father here on earth? So we're going to have just a short time of prayer, just introspection, asking God, God, please show me. If I've neglected one of your three persons, reveal it to me. The band, you can come up. So we're just going to be quiet for a while. I want to ask you just to focus inward. Ask God to reveal to you, have you neglected either the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit? And we're going to have a time of ministry, and you can respond to that. And you can really, we can pray with you. So we're going to have a time of ministry in which we can really pray to God, ask God to repair this in our hearts, that we can truly worship three in one. Thank you, Father God, that we know you are holy. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that we know that you are the Spirit of God. Thank you, Jesus Christ, that we know that you are the Word of God. Thank you, Father God, that we know that you have created all things. And you have created us. You have created us good. I pray for that hearts would be turned to you now in this moment in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray that people will turn to you, Father God. I pray that if there's people in this building who have never turned to the living God, that they would respond to the tugging that there is upon their hearts to turn to you now. There's no other way for salvation except through Jesus Christ. And where does Jesus Christ take you? He takes you straight back to the Father. I pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that you would bring conviction in hearts now. I pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that you would just highlight areas, Father God, that you want to put your finger on. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and convict every heart in this moment. We glorify you, Lord Jesus Christ, as Lord of our lives. Holy Spirit, we want to declare that we want to follow you. Jesus Christ, as the Word of God, you state and you tell us what the will of the Father is. And Holy Spirit, you are the one that gives us the power to do the will of the Father. We need this unity. We need this unity, Father God. I pray that you would come and change hearts right now to give this unity of the Holy Spirit empowering the will of the Father that gets revealed through Scripture.